Well, good morning, Resurrection.
Good morning.
Good to be with you. Will you pray with me? Holy Spirit, would you descend on this place? Would you fill our longings, our hopes, our dreams, our joys, our sorrows, the things that seem to be magnified in this season that we're in? And would you fill them, Lord? Would you help us to meet you? Would you enable us to connect to the power of the Holy Spirit in our own lives? I thank you that the gift of Christmas is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And I pray that as we meditate on your word, that would become clear to all of us. And I ask this for your sake and in your name. Amen. Have a seat. Just last Sunday, Peggy Bursch, who has been kind of coming quietly in the back at 11 o'clock, the 11 o'clock service for the last year, as she has struggled with a brain tumor, she passed away, and they had the funeral just last Sunday. And I've been a longtime friend of the Bursch family and been blessed by their life and their ministry, and had the privilege of attending the funeral. And as I was sitting there in the funeral, and Peggy was 60 years old, three daughters, post-college in their 20s, as I was sitting there in the funeral, it struck me again the simplicity of a life well-lived. That there is incredible simplicity when you get to observe a life and you begin to see, you know, what really matters, what really counts in life. And if I could sum up the simplicity that I experienced sitting there in Peggy's funeral, it was just this: trust God, love people. Trust God, love people. If you do that, and in particular, the profound challenge is to love those people closest to you, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers. But if you do that, if you live a life with those two kind of beams as your focus, there is a simple beauty and strength to life lived that way. And I was thinking about her life, and I was thinking of an example as we come to this Christmas season and we're looking for models and representatives of the faith as we wrap our heads around the Christmas story. And I found myself meditating on the person of Joseph. Because in many ways, Joseph, I think, models for us what it looks like to genuinely trust God and love others. You know, there's an old country music song. I mean, it's not old, it's new, and the only reason I know it, I don't even listen to country music, but it's always on the Dodge commercials during football games, so that's the only reason I know it. But it's classic country music, and the chorus is about a man, and in the Dodge commercial he's driving a new Dodge Durango. But the chorus is, he's not just tough, he's strong. And then it begins to talk about how he loves those around him and he sacrifices and he serves. And it says again, he's not just tough, he's strong. It's a simple little message, but I think if there was a country music song written about Joseph, I think that would be it. Because I think Joseph models for us the simple beauty and power of a life lived trusting God and loving others. And so what I want to do this morning as we kind of look at the gospel passages, I want to make three observations about this kind of simple beauty of life. And it's basically this: in order to trust God and love others, you're going to need three things. Number one, you're going to need a vision for it. Number two, you're going to have to learn how to face the problem with it. And number three, you're going to need to know how to tap into the power to live it. So the first one is simply this, that in order to live life with the simple beauty of trusting God and loving others, you're going to have a vision for it. A vision for it. As I said earlier, I think Joseph is one of those guys. He's not just tough, as the country music song says. He is strong. You know, it's interesting. There are four Gospels. Only two of the Gospels actually talk about the birth of Christ at all. And the Gospel of Luke talks about it from Mary's perspective. The Gospel of Matthew talks about it from Joseph's perspective. Interestingly enough, when the angel comes to announce the news to Mary, Mary naturally engages with the angel. She asks, "How can this be?" And we have Mary's beautiful Magnificat that she sings at some point. The reverse for Joseph is, as much as Joseph is engaged in the story, never once is there a word spoken by Joseph in Matthew. Never once. He never speaks, but he acts, and he acts. His acts are always acts of love and sacrifice and service. Even when he's first given the news of the pregnancy, it says that he resolves quietly to put Mary away in a discreet way so that he may have to share her shame, but she will not be punished, the ultimate punishment for her infidelity. Even in the midst of heartache, he is still wrestling through, how is it that I find the right thing to do? There's a beauty to his life. God speaks, he acts. When God comes to him in a dream and he reveals to him this incredible mystery that Mary is indeed pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit, Joseph, in pure obedience, acts upon that dream and vision. He has a vision for it. Have you ever stopped to think how much of your life is made possible by the quiet, faithful sacrifice of others? Starting with those closest to you. How much of the joys and the gifts of life all come because someone is quietly, faithfully serving you, loving you, trusting God for the strength to make a difference in your life? If you want to live this kind of life, you have to have a vision for it. You have to see the impact that it can make, the power that is available when someone faithfully trusts God and commits to loving others. There is a beauty and there is a simplicity to it, but you best be careful because there are many other competing visions for life. There are many other things calling you to what you should do and what you should be and how life is really meant to be lived. But I think Peggy Burrish and I think Joseph himself modeled for us and laid down a vision of the absolute beauty and simplicity of trusting God, loving others. Many people are thrown aside by the selfishness in life, and I am too. I'm thrown aside by my own selfishness. But you know what's moving me to awe more and more every day? Is selflessness. Those pure examples of people who are willing to lay down their lives in large or small degrees because they are trusting God and they are committed to loving other people. Selfishness is obvious, it's apparent, it runs us down. Selflessness is often overlooked, but when you see it, you know the only way someone is selfless is that they're living for a higher vision in life. There's a beauty and there's a simplicity if you catch the vision. But I think in order to catch the vision, I think we all have to face the challenge of it. The challenge to any idea, any ideal that we're talking about, is always the practical realities of life. Life is never a country music song. Life is never a funeral eulogy. Even after Peggy's service, I went home. I had to cook dinner for my kids. I burned the tilapia in the frying pan. I had smoke pouring out of my house. My kids were whining and didn't want to eat what I cooked. The ideal that I walked out of that church with was squashed not 30 minutes after I left. Okay? That's the way it is. You get a vision and you see the ideas, but the practical realities of life are always the things that do you in. For Joseph, it was this news. Guess what? Mary is pregnant. That was unexpected news. He wasn't planning on that one. You know, we all encounter these bits of news, these little announcements of life, these little challenges or big challenges that make their way in, that make living up to the ideal profoundly difficult. What's the news you're struggling with this week? Is it that Aunt Mary is coming for Christmas? Is it that you can't find the right gift? Are your kids pushing the envelope? Is it something more profound? Have you lost a job or are you facing a medical crisis? Whatever it is, I will tell you this. When you set out to live this ideal that I am going to trust God and love others, the first thing that will smack you in the face is the practical realities of life that get in the way. I love my family well from a distance. It's sitting there that it's a challenge. And so if you want to really, you know, embody this, you've got to understand it. The practical creates the ultimate challenge to the ideal. Joseph had to walk his way through it. He doesn't come to this conclusion right away. I mean, he does what all of us would do when we receive difficult news. He tries to process it and he takes his time and he wrestles with it. And it's interesting, God doesn't speak to him right away. God allows Joseph to kind of wrestle with it and come up with his own plan of action. You know, I'll put her away quietly so as not to, you know, bring the ultimate shame on her. And he kind of comes to this conclusion on his own. And then God speaks. Very often, we live out this ideal of trusting God and loving other people in a context in which God doesn't always initially speak to us. He allows you to wrestle through. I've heard this quote that I've hung on to often. I believe it's from Oliver Wendell Holmes. But it says this, I probably shared it with you. I only have about 5 quotes that I've memorized, so I guarantee you I've shared it in a sermon. Simplicity that avoids complexity is naivete and therefore useless. But simplicity that has lived through complexity is wisdom and therefore priceless. The simplicity of trusting God and loving others in the practical realities and bump and grind of everyday life with the bad news and the good news and the challenges and the uplifting things. When you can live through that and still simply say that I did my best to trust God and love others, you have encountered the pearl of great price. But it's hard. It's hard. I dare say it's impossible. And I think that might be one of the reasons why Joseph had to wrestle through it first before God came to him and spoke. Because it's not enough to have a vision for it, because the practical realities will always get in the way. If you want to live a fruitful life of trusting God and loving others, you need to find something deeper. You need to have the power to live it. The power to live it. See, Joseph had a great question. It's really everybody's question. How can Jesus be inside of Mary? That's his question. I mean, we get hung up on the technicalities of how the virgin birth actually happened, and that's a great question and a sermon for another day, but don't miss the simple but profound question that Joseph's asking, and in many ways you should be asking. How is it that Jesus ended up inside of Mary? And the only answer given in the text is the little phrase, by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only answer. We're not given any biology lessons or, you know, miracle 101 things. It simply says, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph's question was, how did Jesus end up inside of Mary? And I think one of the things that God is saying is that you better ask the same question. How do you get Jesus inside of you? Because if you're going to live out this ideal of trusting God and loving others, you better have a power and a life inside of you that isn't there naturally. See, the mystery of the virgin birth, to me, is how is it that Jesus gets inside of any of us? And the message to God is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus wants to be in you, too. He wants to be in you if you will open your heart and let him in. And that ultimately, I think, is what Joseph had to do, and I think it's what you have to do. Even this morning, I know what you want, because I want the same thing. I want to trust God. I want to love other people. But I know when I walk out of here, I know the life I'm walking back into. And so do you. And I have a good life. I have a blessed life. I have so much to be thankful for. But I know this, that the life I walk into in my flesh, I do not trust God and love other people. I need something stronger inside of me. And it is the power of the Holy Spirit placing Jesus in me. You know, I had one of these Christmas memories, and I'll close with this. I remember, you know, it was just kind of one of those times. I was in college. I was on Christmas break. For no apparent reason, just a spirit of depression just overtook me. And I remember sitting there just profoundly wrestling with, who am I? I don't know what overtook me. I felt like a loser. I felt like I had nothing going for me. And I had plenty, but it just kind of hit me. And I remember going to a Christmas Eve service, and it was in a gym. And I just walked in feeling so profoundly empty. And I don't remember what the preacher said. This is a shout out to Stephen, because it's usually the songs that always win the day, right? Amen. Right? I don't remember what the preacher said, but I remember, they were singing Silent Night. And they turned out all the lights. And this was in a gym. I'm sure it's the last time they did this because it was a fire code violation. But they turned out all the lights. And I was in the upper, you know, the stands, you know, all the way with my back against a concrete wall. And they just started singing Silent Night. Everybody had a candle. They lit one, and they turned off the lights, and they said, "And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness can never put it out." And they lit one candle, and they started singing Silent Night. And everyone turned and lit the candle to the person next to them. And I watched this, like, flood of light just making its way up to me. And as it was coming, I just said a silent prayer. Lord, when that light comes to me, will you dispel the darkness in my soul? Will you fill this empty spot inside of me? And I reached out my candle and I touched that light. And the power of Jesus Christ went from beyond an abstract idea. It went from beyond a good moral symbol of someone I wanted to be like. And it became a living reality in my heart and my soul. That is the message of Christmas. That is the mystery of the virgin birth. That is the beauty of the life of Joseph. And it can be the beauty of your life if you will open your heart and allow Jesus Christ to become a part of it. Amen.